I know some people have had trouble getting into that and making it work, but...
Well, it's not a TCC, it has been a great process, which means we're going to recreate the wheel.
Okay.
And send out another email with new codes for it. The reason why we issue one set of codes is that code says for 100 people. So if you use it more than once, we now have multiple uses for 100 people. What I can also do is have you come up to my office, we can make an appointment, you can sit there, we can help you get into the system and take it and print your certificate. Or, can get some saying, maybe, towards the end of the year, I can get an in-office or in-classroom training for everybody. You would be required to still pass the test, we would have to grade it, and submit it on your behalf. So right now, since this is new for our agency, I'm learning this and we're learning about boards and commissions and groups and friends. I want to make it easier on you. So we'll work as a group. I'll send out the email and then we'll work together to get it accomplished. Do you have any questions for me?
I do have one. I attempted to get into the system and was unsuccessful, and you and I talked about that. But I don't know exactly what's in the training. Do we have anything in there regarding open meeting law?
Not that I read, but I can find that provided for you with the vice statute.
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of people on the board who would really like to have some sort of training or at least some information anyway regarding open meeting law requirements.
And I know that it does talk about different requirements. It talks about legal, what representation can and can't be. Employees work together with boards. It refers to other rights statutes pertaining. And I think it's called Law 2000. Staff have to take Law 1000. Board members are Law 2000. And in the future, our volunteers will be taking Law 3000 for volunteers. So we're getting on board with all of the Department of Administration's requirements.
Okay.
I'm happy while you got them, guys. They're good?
Yvonne, do you have any questions regarding the online training?
No.
Okay.
Very
good. Because I know you're going to your podcast. Oh, you're doing it?
No,
I am. Oh,
sorry. I didn't
know you did it. It's all right. Okay, very good. No questions regarding that, huh? Shirley is not with us today. I don't know if anybody has any information regarding a backup for our treasurer's report.
Yes, because Kim sent me the treasurer's report, the membership fund, and at this point we have $31,145 in that account. Kim, you're here, and I was looking at that report. It also talks about a program, UMEMS, posting code, external collected earned revenue, 4611. I'm just going to give this to you. You can...
So, in the beginning of the fiscal year, we changed all of our programs. We changed our accounting structure to go along with the new org structure. So the UMEMS is just unrestricted membership funds for Southern. It's a new code. It's just like the 21161 was the fund number before this reference in the minutes.
Oh, okay.
It used to be 1107. That was
right,
the fund number.
Yeah.
So they're all the same. They just evolved over time.
Okay, okay.
And the 4611 is just unrestricted donations. And the external and internal is the difference between whether it's cash or credit cards.
Okay.
And how the members pay. So the 31,000 just balances as of the end of August. This is the end of August. September's are not done because September just ended yesterday.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Well, and then and I had asked if we could kind of see what is happening with rental funds and bill Okay, he said that he would put something. Okay, good. Oh, okay, great. Okay, good.
Okay.
Just showed up.
I just appeared.
You must laugh.
I just appeared late. That's what I appeared.
So, Linda, do we have anything regarding the policies committee?
Yes, actually, we do. Because, and we haven't gotten together, in the interim, after we all talked last time and we're looking at our policy committee, which is still, we have not met yet, but what's happened in the interim is that Dr. Coy, assigned or asked Michael Wade, who's on the state board, to chair a subcommittee to put together a policy having to do with rental money. And so he has just contacted me. I know that Pat Lovin from Northern is there, and I am, and I don't know who else. But as I get more information, I'm going to throw it out to all those people that are on the policy committee here, and they can weigh in on it so that we can have a collective voice, and so that's kind of where that is.
Is there any schedule set up regarding periodic meetings yet, or anything?
No, because we've been, well, a couple of things. Probably over the last 3 months, very many things have evolved and whatever, and I don't think we're ready to move ahead yet. I think the best thing for us to do to start this will be to wait, and Michael Wade will guide us through a process to create this one policy that will help us know the procedures.
Okay.
So, that.
And who is Michael Wade again?
Michael Wade is a state board member.
Okay.
who actually has been on the board for quite a while. He's a very competent man, and I didn't email him back to get an update or anything, but I got that note from him about 2 weeks ago, and so I guess we'll just wait until he contacts me for more information.
Very good, thank you. Okay, let's go ahead and review and approve on the minutes, which I think have just been handed around. These are the minutes for the August 6th meeting.
make a motion to approve the meeting.
Okay, we have a motion to approve. Do we have a second? Frank, second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? No questions. All right, very good. Thank you. Denny, I'm sorry. I don't think that we introduced you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm Dr. Denny Seymour. I'm president of Pathfinders, and I am here in replacement for Mary Flynn, who could not be here today. And I was actually behind somebody else. So I wanted to meet you all anyway, so this is perfect.
Thank you for coming, Denny. I appreciate it. Calling for new business, discussion and action, if any, on funding requests, monies, and other issues. And this is for the chapter board. Is there anyone to speak to that item?
I do. When we brought this item up last time, we had a discussion. And that discussion became part of our minutes, a summation of it or whatever. And it appears Northern Arizona picked those minutes up and took a look at them and were very upset. So they went to the board meeting, state board meeting, which is up there, and Pat Lovin, who's the president of NAPS, spoke from the floor in regard to the fact that monies for facility rentals and so forth and so on really needed to stay with the chapter and with the facility because of all the effort that everybody puts in to creating that funding. And so she spoke from the floor, and then I wasn't there. I talked with Pat afterwards, and she said that in the meeting that Bill stated that what I had in the minutes was taken out of context and wasn't quite right, and that in fact all of facility rentals go to the places that generated them. And then I guess maybe they asked Bill to make, you know, kind of go into it and produce something or be able to share information that would help everybody understand how it's working. Well, I recorded that meeting we had that time. And after I heard from Pat, I transcribed that whole conversation. And I sent a copy to Pat, and I sent a copy to all of the Southern Arizona people who sit on the state board. Because what was said was very much different than what was said at the state board meeting. So after that, a while later, there was information coming out from Kim that sort of identified what happens to facility rentals monies for each of the divisions. And then, a few days ago, what went to everybody was Bill's explanation of what things really were. And I've made a copy of all of those three things. And I would very much like us to take a look, because every one of these things is in opposition to the other. So I'm going to hand this out, and it's going to start with the transcript directly from my recording, which I still have. And I highlighted, but it obviously this is black and white, some of the things that directly Jill stated in that meeting. And I would love to have Jill speak to that.
I guess we'll pass the news around.
I would just like to point out two things as you look at it. The highlighted things are the things that I, you know, that were significant to us. And were the things that created a problem for us. And
I know that you may not have enough time to look at everything. I want to give you a couple of minutes, and then I want to point out in each of these documents where there is inconsistency.
Just a comment. I believe that this is going to cover the next item that's on the agenda as well.
Okay. All right.
If there's good. Anyone who's planning on speaking to that, then that'll be part of this.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Jeff, I'm sorry I didn't get this to you.
Is it in the channel?
Yes, it is. It is.
So, President Green, can you clarify if only Jeff on the phone?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
The thing that I would like particularly for you to take a look at is Bill's recollection of that meeting with us in his materials that were sent to board members.
Can you tell us where that is?
Yes, it's the second sheet in.
Yeah.
Okay. Elaine is mentioned in this. And okay. I can even read it to you if you'd like.
I prefer to read mine.
Okay. Very good.
So as Linda has mentioned, my statement was promulgated by the board's request for me to speak to the items that Pat Levin had brought up, which she had taken in part from the information that was derived in the documents of the 7 chapter board's last meeting. And so what I did is I used the documents that Linda had sent out, both the extract and then the actual document itself, overlaid with what I believe we were trying to achieve at the last meeting,
which was to give some insight to where facility rental dollars and lease revenue dollars went and how we used them within the year. So,
the derivation of this discussion comes out of Brent's coming from that did not come to
us.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
The question that when you brought up,
that's how
it started was why the chapter did not receive rental income from the new rate. So at the most recent state board meeting, Pat Levin, president of NAPS, which is Northern Arizona Climate Resources Society, read a statement of concern, which was fostered by Western Reserve's secretary on chapter board's most recent draft minutes. In the chapter, the chapter's secretary, Linda, had presented a summation of statements about several subjects which she questioned me on. Among those subjects was what residents chapters were entitled to, who AHS was allowed to lease to, as well as how certain revenues, in this case facility from leases, should be allocated. This head under the agenda item, which was dedicated to a purpose for which staff would be requesting a chapter support, asked why the chapter would not be receiving income from the University of Arizona for space to be leased. And she was reminded that the only revenue chapters received for their benefit was from membership dues and from events they sponsored. This had been spoke of previously being informed and allowed to comment on special lease to Aspire, the new building high-rise student housing north of the UA facility. Under that lease, exhibit space was reconfigured to allow for a pre-leasing office. Under the lease with the U of A, an office space that is not being used by AHS has been made available to the university. When several chapter members confirm that the chapter does not receive lease revenues and that the chapter does not have an equal voice over whom AHS can lease, this epidemic is being taken away the voice of the chapter. Again, the chapter members corrected her on her misstatements. At this point, I attempted to inform the chapter board on how the restructuring impacted the concept of budgeting. Quote, well, so we restructure, and then restructuring, what we do is look at things holistically from the perspective of the agency. End quote. At this point, it's headed without benefit of actual factual information stated, but now you're taking away a good piece of revenue, my issue. My goal with Ms. Head and the board was to inform them on how the new organization structure is designed and how revenues and expenditures are impacted. Public agency budgeting does not need the concept. It is a compilation of appropriate and non-appropriate funds as well as general funds and special line items, earmarks, and restricted funds. All of this is further complicated because AHS has a brand new organization structure that does not resemble the past structure. Only one board member, an investor, who has background in city government, understood the concept of general fund, sensing that there was a level of complexity that would take time to discern, Walter Lane suggested that a presentation on restructuring would be helpful. I agreed to do that in the future, The Arizona Historical Society structure has evolved over time. At one point, Southern Division was, as an example, composed of library department separate from the archives department. We had a museum department that included collections, and they had an administration department as well as the building maintenance. Museum stores have come and gone and come again. Library and archives were first merged, and they separated from Southern to become their own division. Maintenance staff was shuttled back and forth between Tempe and Tucson. And most importantly, with the ebbs and flows of revenues and expenditures each year, AHS has always used the flexibility for non-restricted funds to cover shortfalls of needs in various areas. Each former division had, on one or more occasion, ending the fiscal year in a deficit from several hundred dollars due to near misses in budgeting to $20,000 due to a major systems failure. In each case, the ability to move funds through transfers has allowed AHS to come shortfalls. The basic theory continues on this current iteration of AHS. While there are no longer geographic divisions, gone are southern, central, northern, etc. The functional distributions, operations and facilities, collections and education, marketing and communications, publications and exhibitions, and guest services carry the same needs. And because these are not all revenue centers, the need to use revenues holistically becomes even more necessary. Let's take, for example, facility rents. Historically, facility rentals reported salary, utilities, and repairs that are no longer covered by the general fund. Appropriation for the location wherein they are earned. As Kim Richards reported, all facilities are now part of operations at facilities. So revenues generated by rentals and lease of the same are captured there. Over the past 3 years, facility rentals have grown from 262,189,000 in FY16 to $389,492.50 in FY19. The increased funds, in concert with careful restructuring, are allowing agents to tackle more functions that are essential for listening. The goal is to lift the entire agency, not just one or two entire units. However, AHS has a responsibility to all of its facilities, and putting them under one umbrella allows for meaningful distributions throughout. An example of how this level of flexibility will help the agency holistically can be observed in a current meeting. Pioneer Museum and our facilities manager have identified approximately $15,000 in hazardous waste. This need must be addressed. Should Pioneer not have sufficient funds to mediate the problem, will it be ignored, or should we move funds from other areas that are where they are earned? The answer is the adopt. Now to Reardon. And Reardon is the area that Kevin, the president of NASA, is particularly concerned about. Now to Reardon. I stated earlier, Pat Levin, based on the draft sub-chapter minutes presented by Linda Head, I challenge AHS's ability to function in this manner in an effort to leave Reardon sacrosanct. Ms. Levin, in an earlier action, wrote that the funds from Reardon Action Network would not support operations, but rather special projects. This is apparently a recent shift in policy that was enacted with no input from AHS. To step to the city, let me say that I was part of the first AHS discussions when Les Rowe presented the option of taking rooms under the AHS now. We recognized that this would be tenuous, but because RAM would raise additional monies, AHS could attempt to operate rooms. The AHS management of Reardon was for the benefit of the community, but should not be to the detriment of AHS. Les and I met with RAND and explained to them that AHS would need their contributions to help fund operations. After getting the assurance of support, this was brought to the state board meeting for their approval. Attending that meeting to assure the board of their support were representatives of RAND and state parks. And that chapter of the minutes follows. I won't read the abstract of the minutes, because that would...
I have a question for you.
Yeah. I won't read the abstract of that meeting because it doesn't, especially, is not especially germane to this meeting.
Okay. I have a question for you. At that state board meeting, did you not tell Pat Levin that all of the money that Reardon and Knapps and everybody makes up there stays up there? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. That's my problem.
My problem is that it's still out of context. To this point, historically, that has been absolutely the case. But we're under a new system now where that may not always be the case.
Did you tell Pat Levin that?
I was on the phone during the Zoom, and it was especially difficult for me to get words in when I wanted to. So no, I did not tell Pat Levin that. But I attempted to tell that in this document and with others. And like you, Pat Levin, I've known Pat Levin for many years. And so I would hope that at some point, if she had a question, that to maintain some level of depth in the conversation, she would just call me. But she didn't.
Yes, Bill. So is the Reardon Action Network, is that basically like a revenue stream that the Reardon Mansion has?
It should be a revenue stream that the Reardon Mansion has, yes. When HS first took Reardon from State Parks, HS and Reardon got together, Reardon agreed to do fundraisers to help us support the operations of the mansion, and within the last 6 months or so, they have backed away from that and said they will only support programs and not operations.
Special projects.
Special projects.
Is there a crossover between that group and the historical society or pioneers?
That group was not a 501.
Okay.
And so what they did is they went to NAPS and they asked NAPS to be their holding company for this event. And essentially at that point those two groups started to coalesce.
I want you to take a look on the back page because that's a document that Kim sent out to board members with an explanation.
Can you get that out of the way now?
If I may. So, Bill, how long ago did that property then move over to AHS? About what year?
I think it was 2010.
Okay. So you were here last this year, and around 2010, it was not the non-restricted funds. It was kind of the old way of, like, allocating funds.
Yes.
And so it sounds like Pat Levin's expectation of AHS would take on operations, and they could continue to raise money to use as they see fit.
Yes.
Okay, and so when this
I would caution you not to necessarily. I think that would be something Pat would want to speak to because she's been in that chair for a long time.
You're talking to me on what?
That I don't know that what's in here is accurate because I think we need to speak to Pat about it because what's in here, in some respects. That I can speak to are not accurate.
Okay. Noted. I hear what you're saying. I'm just trying to get some more background. So then when she was at the state board meeting, this was just recently, correct?
Yes.
Her motion to make the decision to basically use the funds for special projects only, did that pass by the state board?
That was an issue that came before the state board. Well, that was done by Reardon, and when we got bring my part of my point, it never came back to me just to say, here's what we are considering. And so that's my point.
So they were moving around their budget?
They were moving allocation dollars, and they decided to change them from an all-inclusive broad category operations program to specifically programs.
Okay, all right. That was
the backstory on that is that we had, as we have done on many other occasions, launched to RAND and asked them for $5,000 to support the RAND operations because at that time the RAND budget was a little bit deficit with the end of the company.
Okay, thank you. That was it, thank you.
well, I'm particularly concerned, you know, in looking at this. Number one, let me go back to this. On the back page is the document that Kim sent out having to do with where facility rental monies go. And it says, for Sanguinetti, all rental monies stay with Sanguinetti House Museum. Pioneer, all rental income stays with Pioneer Museum. Reardon, all rental money stay with Reardon. Arizona Heritage, all rental monies and lease money stay with Arizona Heritage Center. Arizona History Museum, rental and lease income stay with Arizona History Museum except the $12,000 annually from the U of A lease that goes to library and archives. Now, what I also know, because I checked with Les, was that when, and we all remember, when we, gave our blessing to taking away some of our exhibit space to give to Aspire to help us stay above water, those funds, Les said, and stayed with this museum. And so there has always, historically, until this reorganization, those funds stay with those facilities. The point Pat was making and the point that I would make too is that you extinguish people's desire to go out and volunteer to gather these monies or to promote certain things. They want to do that because they love their museum, they love, their whatever, and that was what Pat stated there. And I also believe, I'm going to ask you, I don't know, but you never ever asked for that fund to cover salaries before, right?
Let me back up a little bit into your hiring statement. This board, this chapter, didn't raise those monies. They didn't go out and develop those monies. So there was no need to actually exchange them. The agency went out and developed those resources, not the chapter. So what are we extinguishing there? In your charter, the charter for the chapter, Point six B monies. Point two. The board of directors of chapters shall raise funds for the society. Period. Point six B.
Wait a second.
It's your chapter bylaws.
Okay.
Point six B. Administrative relationship. Point three. The chapter shall provide recommendations and advice to the staff regarding the initiation, control, management review, and supervision of all museum facilities, programs, and the society within the chapter's geographical subject area, subject to written policies of the state of the society and the state of Arizona.
Okay, let me just suggest a couple of things, what I know. Right now, we are working very hard at a courtyard remodel project. Why? It's to make our museum more interesting, to bring in membership and visitation and facility rental things. They do the same thing up in Flag. They have so, the Reardon Mansion has so many weddings. Why? Because the volunteers up there that work, and many of them are the ones that do the all of the tours around Weirden Mansion. They are the ones. They do that not to give money to Sanguinetti or to Tucson. They do it because it will make what they love better.
Weirden Mansion, okay, has they try to do something else. You're looking at them today, and their facility limits are the least of anyone's, to the point where it's dragging their operations down below the Maginot Line. They are they're going into Jefferson, and they go into Jefferson. Somebody has to cover that. Okay? Now, so we have to have the flexibility to move money from A to B to help cover that.
Okay. So
Kim, could you give me the details on the mansion that you have?
So, I just want to make one point first. Weirden Mansion is different than all the other museums. Weirden Mansion is a state park. We have an IGA, which is now a contract with Weirden Mansion. So, all the museums, part of their mission goes to help support exhibit marketing and other things that the agency does as a whole. Not $1 from Weirden goes to any of those funds. 100% of Reardon's money stays with Reardon. So when Reardon runs out of money, somebody else has to help pay for them. Even though they don't support AHS, AHS has to support Reardon.
Well,
right
okay.
Now, Reardon, fiscal year today, which is 3 months, has brought in $1,100 in facility rental money. They have barely enough money to cover their next payroll cycle. And they're at the end of their business season.
Okay, now, here is something that operates business-wise. If they are not doing a good job of facility rentals to support what they have or what they're doing, they need to, you know, instead of somebody else coming in to bail them out, they need to rethink how they're doing things. Why, you know, and this goes to the point of we in Tucson and this museum and its all of its collections and materials have tremendous resources that we can use here. And we have many, many needs too. We need to keep our own ship in order, not move money from some other place to help us. And